It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
Looking for the God story and news of the day. My Michelle Live news and views. Here's Michelle.
Thank you for being with us today. We're digging deep into some stories that have emerged, and they always do. We've all experienced that long, miserable year of 2020 where this little virus seemed to just turn us on our heads. We've all been dealing with some of the after effects, whether it's health, whether it's well-being, whether it may be business-related, financial blowouts, kids at home driving you crazy, all of these things. Yes, we've all gone through them. We're starting to see news stories come out. We'll talk today about Fauci's emails that have come to light because of the Freedom of Information Act. What, you didn't hear about those? Yeah. Nearly a year and a half since COVID was detected in the Chinese city of Wuhan. Now, after all we've gone through, thousands of private emails from the U.S. infectious disease chief, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the man who is the untouchable guru of all knowledge and all decisions concerning COVID. These emails have revealed the concern and even some of the confusion that took place at the beginning of this thing. Over 3,000 pages of emails, yikes. And they were obtained by BuzzFeed News, CNN, The Washington Post, through the Freedom of Information Act. There's many things, and I'm sure there'll be some things that you'll hear in some of the press. Things like, come on, store-bought masks are, quote, not really effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through material. Then why are we still wearing the darn things? There's been some interesting stuff, though, that we're going to delve into from Fauci on the country's largest biomedical research facility. One of these emails came from him, and it suggested to Fauci there were some unusual features of the virus that may indicate it was, quote, engineered. Engineered. So it was, they were saying, hey, there's some signs here. This is not just a oops accident, Wuhan market kind of thing. It looks like it was purposeful. Well, they took notice in the early days of this theory that COVID-19 may have leaked from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. And that's what these emails were saying, that, interesting. The controversial claim, though, was pretty much wrote off, dismissed by experts last year. They said, nah, it was unlikely. There's no evidence. This is silly. It's conspiracy. Facebook banned any such talk. You're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to question. Wow. A classified U.S. intelligence report said three researchers, though, at the Wuhan laboratory were treated in hospitals in November of 2019. And this has surfaced recently along with these emails from 2019, just before the virus began infecting humans in the city of Wuhan. And that news has started to circulate in the U.S. media. It kind of prompted our president, as we talked about last week, to announce an urgent investigation that's going to look into the theory of this biomedical research facility being as the possible origin. And so now Facebook is saying, oh, okay, you can talk about it again. It's okay. Remember when we said it was fake news? Ha, just kidding. It's crazy. These emails, this news that's coming out, the Global Times newspaper, which is controlled by the Communist Party, released an editorial article basically stating Beijing is preparing for a nuclear war with the U.S. because they dare, you know, bring this question up. Don't get alarmed. It's just propaganda. You know, the kind of stuff you hear here in the United States of America because someone goes off the rails. I can't believe you're going to do this. The whole world's coming to an end. Yeah, you hear this kind of thing. Beyond the emails, there's another story too. Dr. Fauci revealed and defended what he called the modest and very respectful funding. Modest and very respectful funding of that so-called Wuhan laboratory that now we're thinking, what if it is at the very core of the release of this virus? Yeah, funding. He was talking about funding it. In the House testimony Tuesday, he admitted that the National Institute of Health funneled U.S. taxpayer money, your money, to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You can't, you know, truth is greater than fiction. You can't make this stuff up. Now, he appeared before a congressional budget committee saying this, and Fauci said that at least $600,000, there was like $800,000targeted, but only a mere $600,000, I mean, chump change, was sent to the lab through the nonprofit called Echo Health Alliance. So this, your wonderful NIH director confirmed the money was given to the Chinese lab over a five-year period to do what? Study bat coronaviruses and whether they could infect humans. I'm not going to go to any conclusions, and we're going to have a couple of guests come on in just a few moments talking about, will we get to the bottom of this? Can we really find the truth? And what the heck is going on in the media? We're going to talk about that today. But, you know, why aren't we looking into this? I mean, I'm not a genius. You know that. I'm just Michelle. But we're funding over the last 5 years a study in Wuhan, China, at this lab, a five-year study of bat coronaviruses and whether they could infect humans, and a coronavirus that infects humans comes out of Wuhan, China. Okay, do you remember Highlights Magazine when you were a kid? Connect the dots? Just saying. Earlier this month, though, earlier this month, Fauci told Senator Ron Paul that the agency didn't provide any funding to the Wuhan lab. It's a soap opera, and it's crazy out there. We're going to talk about some of the interesting stories that were those crazy conspiracy theories that social media certainly shut down to make sure that you're only getting real accurate news, none of this fake news. But now suddenly we're finding that the Wuhan Institute of Virology has been seen by some as now, again, the potential origin of this virus. How crazy that we heard it from the White House. Now, Facebook is saying, oh, well, you know, we're not going to block those things anymore. So we need to delve into it just a little bit beyond what you hear on the talking heads in the news and the same story perpetuated everywhere. Let's look a little deeper. Joining us today, Dr. Roger Klein. He's an expert in health and law, with the Regulatory Transportation Protects FDA and Health Working Group. He's a former medical director of molecular pathology at the Cleveland Clinic and former advisor to the FDA, CDC, HHS, CMS. He is our guest today. Dr. Roger Klein, you made time for us today to take this on and to inform people. God bless you for that. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so important. Someone who is in the know, as you are, helping the public to have a better understanding of what's really going on, because we're caught in this world of today it's fake news, tomorrow it's headlines.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest problems here has been the overt politicization of anything having to do with this pandemic, or everything, almost everything, in public discourse and public discussions. And it's really impeded our ability to understand what's going on, and it's done much to create distrust in millions of Americans who don't know who to believe and who are doubting authorities, public health authorities, and others on whom they previously relied and in whom they had confidence.
That's a good point, because I think there's a difference between questioning authority, which we all should. We should never just take things as, well, he said it and he's a technocrat. He knows better than me. He's ascended. So we're going to take that as gospel truth. There's a difference between questioning and completely doubting and not knowing where we can stand. And I think that's been part of what has torn us apart as a nation and keeps us from healing as a nation. What say you?
No, I agree. I agree with that. The fundamental, if you really want to talk about science, fundamental to science is inquiry, it's questioning, it's challenging. It's, you know, the truth is science can be very brutal. You come up with a study or a hypothesis or evidence, and then you present it in a meeting, for example, and people are often insulting and they challenge you. And that's really what it's about. It can be very vigorous. The idea is, as in any inquiry where you're trying to learn, you observe, you listen, you experiment, and you present findings and let other people criticize them. And I think that was entirely absent from the public debates. And so there are many things that the handling of the epidemic or the pandemic, what could be called, some things that were done perhaps are justified, but they weren't science.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's the thing about science as well, is that we have heard in recent years this term called settled science. And we talk about this, if you're new to My Michelle Live, as you're listening, we talk about this all the time on our Science and Technology Tuesday podcast, that science is never settled. It needs to be poked. It needs to be prodded. That is the nature of science. There's very few laws. There's a whole lot of theories, and those theories should be challenged. We haven't seen a lot of challenge, though, where SARS COVID-19 is concerned. And some of this resurgence in the idea of the Wuhan Institute of Virology being possibly the source of this virus, it was quickly shut down and labeled as a conspiracy theory. Why the resurgence?
You know, I think it's partly, first of all, it never should have been ruled out. And I think looking at the way the investigation was handled and understanding that we're really relying on China to be honest with us for facts, and we have to understand that they won't be, or that they're unlikely to be. I think that it's always lingered, and I think there's public discourse and private conversation, I think, and I think that this was all has always been on the table in terms of, for example, a lab leak. But there was recently a letter that was published. The senior author on the letter, it was published in a very prestigious journal called Science. The senior author was a well-known microbiologist, David Relman, who at Stanford, who along with other colleagues, some of whom were quite vigorous in supporting, for example, some of the measures that were taken during the pandemic, these folks basically said there wasn't sufficient investigation. It wasn't given adequate consideration. There needs to be a transparent investigation. They didn't say there was a leak. We don't know the answer to these questions. And I think that's part of the problem, is people have pronounced and made judgments and firm statements about facts, about topics, about which there was not sufficient knowledge to state with certainty an objective fact. I mean, it was an opinion. It was conjecture. It was speculation. And I think that's basically what we've dealt with is a knowledge vacuum and people's opinions, models, hypotheses, speculations treated as fact.
And all of those things are fine as speculation, as theory, as we were talking about in science. Those theories, these are theories, the Wuhan Institute virology theory, it came from some kind of marmot or bat theory. It came from the Wuhan market theory. I mean, there are different theories and all of them are theories. But what we've seen and what we'll talk about a little later in the program as you're listening is how the media and how politicians and how groups can take those things and, as you're saying, and then once it's fact, it shall not be challenged. But yet, if we really were to look at this, Dr. Klein, it is possible that this virus accidentally leaked from the Virology Institute. It is possible that it may have been a subject of military research or even medical research. And it's important that we at least look into it and consider that a possibility, lest this thing be repeated and we have to go through it all over again.
And so all of these things are possible. It's certainly possible it was manipulated. There's no question it's possible it was a lab leak. In fact, the Wuhan Institute of Virology was found to be deficient in safety procedures in dealing with these very types of viruses by some of our own government representatives in prior to this pandemic. So I think it's sort of it's almost silly to dismiss it as a theory. We don't know that it happened. I mean, we don't, but we certainly have to consider that possibility. That where I have to push back on you is the notion that we're ever going to know, because the truth is, again, we're dependent on a communist dictatorship to provide us with the information. And it's quite frustrating to listen to reports uncritically of what China says. I mean, why would we necessarily believe what China says? And in fact, if it's detrimental to them and they have absolute control over information, I would think that we would be highly skeptical, as we somehow used to be, yes, of information coming out of governments, including our own.
Well, right. I mean, officials had safety concerns about the Virology Institute in Wuhan back in 2018. U.S. research funds may have made their way to a research laboratory where there were reportedly identified concerns. So where are we involved? Where is China's culpability? You're right. We may never know, because people need to cover up. China isn't known for telling the truth. They're known for making themselves look better. But if we don't at least ask or encourage our media to do a better job of reporting and investigating rather than just perpetuating propaganda, we're all doomed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and it's sad, because I think the truth is you have sort of more widely watched or older network type media that some refer to as quote mainstream media. But I don't think the information that comes from these sources is necessarily any better than information that you can get in many, many other sources on the internet and on the radio and other places. And I think, and that's because of this blurring of sort of a, this objective type reporting with advocacy and with really a heavy level of bias and really a slant or intent or narrative behind the information that's provided. And with that, you know, it's very hard then to distinguish, for example, a major newspaper, an old newspaper once that, for example, has historically been respected. It's very hard to distinguish what they're saying from a website, which in fact seems more honest and truthful.
Yeah. And some of this, since we're seeing it perpetuated from politicians, when we agree, we kind of throw our hands back and don't try to keep people accountable with truth. And it's unfortunate because once that's allowed on one side, the pendulum swings. And I guess to my greater point is that now that we have some emails that we've seen some correspondence with Dr. Fauci, you see that it's kind of like that Wizard of Oz saying, don't pay attention to what's happening behind the curtain. We're being given the smoke and mirrors, this facade of information, and we're supposed to just be sheeple and go along with it. And it really is unsettling, and especially to someone like you, Dr. Klein, you're in the know, you're on top of these things. What was your thought as some of these emails started to appear?
Well, I mean, I haven't looked at all of them. I tend to be a little bit reserved in terms of formulating judgments generally without adequate information. And I do think that people tend to send emails without adequate thought. They're often hurried. They don't necessarily reflect what somebody would say who was seriously thinking about it and thought it was and believed it would be for public consumption, or sometimes it would express in a different form of writing. So I understand what's coming from the emails. I think we have enough information in some respects based upon public statements of Dr. Fauci, who is obviously a very smart guy and is certainly entitled to his opinion, but expressed opinions in a political role, in a political context, and I think should have been viewed a little bit more through that prism. And certainly, when talking about issues that were not known, that where we had a true knowledge gap.
I think
should have been represented.
Oh, we just lost you for a second. Are you still
I'm with you. I thought you were saying something, but yeah. No, I mean, I think that's important because the point is that people say, this is not science to take one person's opinion and elevate it to the point that it's dogma. That's just not how it works. There's lots and lots of smart people who had very, very different opinions. The scientific discourse and the discourse among peers and others was very different than the public discourse.
That is such a very good point. I think the thing that can be disturbing is when any one man becomes unchallengeable, that his word is without challenge, without, they cannot be come against, you cannot debate it, this is it. And we've come to this place where we almost have this technocracy of these experts who cannot take criticism. And this was to the point that you brought to the table at the beginning of this conversation. And that's why I was so delighted to have you with us today, Dr. Klein, to get us to think that outside the box, to realize that challenge is a good thing, that while we may never know for sure, for certain, what really took place in the development and the beginnings of COVID-19, of this horrible virus, We should never give up the search for truth. I'd like to give you the final word.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on. And I think you've hit on some very, very important points that I would hope your listeners hang on to, in the sense that the most important message I would leave you with is the skepticism of experts when opining about unknowable or unknowable questions or questions without in which there's incomplete knowledge are opinions. And I think we need to be skeptical and seek out a diversity of opinions, if only because we don't, whoever's making those opinions doesn't have all the facts and is just as likely in many cases to be wrong as they are right. I just can't emphasize it more. We saw so many reversals and inconsistencies and in my view, bad policies that came out of the handling of this pandemic in a situation where we had incomplete knowledge, we had heavy politicization. And it's hard in a scary time, but you know, that's why they say they talk about taking advantage of crises. That's what I would say. And you need to keep a cool head.
There you go. Thank you for being one of those cool heads in the mix. And thank you for making time for us today. I really appreciate it. I know you're very busy. This has been such a pleasure. Please come back again, Dr. Klein.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll let you go as we continue the broadcast. Thank you again to Dr. Klein. Today, we are looking a little bit deeper into the story. And I would encourage you to think about something that Dr. Klein said. China might not be honest. They probably won't be. But do like that. We're going to have more to come with a little challenge to the media. And in the meantime, I just want to encourage you to remember this. This is Calitrin, and Calitrin is one of our associates. It's what keeps me energetic, keeps me young. It's like a fountain of youth in the bottle. Go to My Michelle Live for more information, and we will continue. It seems that whatever news story, there's some that are passionate about one thing, some that are passionate about another. But one thing that's affected all of us has been COVID-19 and some of the draconian measures that have been taken, some of the fear mongering that's been out there, how the media has had culpability in spreading some of the news and perpetuating ideas. I'm going to give you an example before I introduce you to our guest. Facebook was banning anything, even remotely associated with COVID-19 coming out of China. The lab theory, for example, banned, gone. Now, suddenly they're saying, you know, I think we're going to reverse that. Well, it happens to coincide with Biden saying, hey, we're going to do a full investigation into this. You know, it really, no matter where you are on any side of a political aisle or issue, it begs for you to just say, what the heck is going on? And how is the media either lazy or purposefully investing in indoctrinating you in one mindset or another, thus contributing to the great divide? United we stand, divided we fall. And we are so lucky to have organizations like the Media Research Center, who has made it their purpose to hold the media accountable. And Dan Gaynor is with us. You see his happy, smiley face there. Vice President of Free Speech America, Business and Culture for the MRC. And he is our guest. He's been on my show several times. This is our first virtual face-to-face.
Yeah, this is new. It's then constant advances to technology for when they allow us to use it. It's great.
It is. Thank God for it too. Wow. And speaking of technology most definitely perpetuates a lot of news and a lot of ideas, but some of it being banned or being bantered or even worse, being indoctrinated, as I alluded to in the intro, some of that seems to be taking place, or at least it can have that appearance when you look at some of the issues that are taking place. Now, one thing we wanted to talk about is the recent emails that have come up concerning Dr. Fauci. Can we talk about that?
I mean, obviously, this is a huge deal. You were spot on in the intro when you said that this is the one news event that we've all shared. And I mean, not even just in the United States, but all shared around the world. That, you know, most countries at this point have had the virus, and some are still fighting it very aggressively. And even in the United States, where it is significantly dropped, we still are averaging close to 20,000 patients a day getting the virus. I've got a good friend of mine who's got it. So, I mean, it happens. It's been an enormous impact. So as part of that, you know, someone FOIA'd using Freedom Information Act, FOIA'd Dr. Fauci and found thousands of his emails, which are still redacted. Now, they still got stuff censored out of them. But even what they've got raises a lot of questions. And I say raise a lot of questions. Okay, how about should raise a lot of questions? Because the emails come out, ABC, CBS, and NBC News, oh, we're going to ignore it. They go to the White House presser. They don't ask questions about it. Although the Spectator, the British paper, one of the reporters for that, Amber Athey, said that she would have asked questions. She just wasn't called upon. Shocker there, because you know, the press secretary doesn't want Amber asking her tough questions. So what we've got is kind of the continuation of what has been going on for more than a year now, which is China's censorship. When back in early 2020, when Senator Tom Cotton brought up the potential for the lab leak theory, there's a guy who's, you know, top U.S. senator involved in Intel, and you know, you would think might know something. When he came out with it, the media skewered him. The Washington Post specifically skewered the man and said, you know, that this was a discredited, disproven idea. And then what did they do the last couple of days? Oh, well, they went back and redid the headline from early last year. Oh, it turns out we were wrong. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's why we should question absolutely everything. Whatever happened to that idea? But we see almost verbatim on every major media outlet, Dan, the same talking points. And now, having been in the media for a long time myself, and you understanding that, you do get talking points. You get talking points from the RNC, the DNC, every PAC group. They will send news stories and talking points. All of them do. And what we used to do in the media would be take those, research them, and then incorporate them if they were indeed checked out. It doesn't seem that way anymore because every news service seems to have the very same talking points. Boom, boom, well, boom, boom. It's like little.
Unfortunately, the major media now, you can look at it two ways. They're either promoting the left, or the left is promoting the agenda of the major media. I would frankly argue, I think it's more the latter, that we now have two political parties in our country. One of them is Republican, one of them is the media party. And the media party does everything that the media tell them to do. So in this particular case, okay, you're gonna downplay the Wuhan lab leak, even though it is by far the most logical explanation for the virus. You know, we've all come out of more than a year now of wearing masks and gloves and, you know, using soap and, you know, you got your little you know, hand sanitizer and stuff y'all sitting around your desk. We've come around from that era. So it's easy for us to imagine, oh, maybe your mask slipped. Maybe someone dropped a vial in a room, or there's a crack in one of the vials, or some sort of natural accident occurs when people work around dangerous stuff. But, you know, the media suppressed that story to the point where you were rated as factually wrong on social media. If you said this, they would downplay who you can say to, how often you can say, you know, restrict your content on your website or on your Facebook page. That is scary, because here we are, you know, 15 months later, and it turns out, yeah, it looks like they were wrong. That's just, you know, beyond belief. That journalists who are not trained in international, you know, affairs, or journalists who are not, you know, morally, ethically, or politically adept at how to handle this are making decisions that affect all of us. And people got censored, suspended, banned because of this. And then just like, oh yeah, my bad.
Yeah, and if you're just kind of catching up here, we are talking about more than what, was it, Dan, 3,200 pages of emails obtained through the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. And it was covering from January to June of last year. And it really did give us a glimpse into how what was really happening behind the scenes, the duck feet behind the smooth appearance of Dr. Fauci as he approached this health crisis we now know as COVID. Conversations with Mark Zuckerberg about how to use Facebook for, I'm going to just say, it looks like propaganda, and a lot of other interesting things about how even interactions with China. So these things are now being leaked, downplayed by the White House as they try to do a little bit, it seems, damage control, but very difficult as we talk about the connection with the media to get the whole story.
Yeah, and here's one of the reasons why it's difficult. Facebook, Facebook relies on these fact checkers. They're supposedly third-party fact checkers approved by the International Fact Checking Network, which is run by the Liberal Pointer Institute. Well, so Facebook will literally restricted the President of the United States, like 9 other social media, tech media platforms. But you know who they don't restrict? They don't restrict China. So Facebook isn't even in China, but they allow Chinese propaganda pages on their website totaling more than 750 million followers. 750 million, that's, you know, more than half the population of China, the world's most populous country. And so that has an impact on what you read. If China doesn't like something, they're going to involve themselves. And, you know, so China didn't like the Wuhan lab leak story. So is it a surprise that Disney ABC or NBC, which is running the Olympics, that they don't want to promote this? No, that's typical business. It's a free market approach. Just let the businesses do whatever they want to do.
But we also have a case of the media gets quite involved with selective, I would say, outrage. You mentioned Disney, NBC, and the like. We can be outraged about many atrocities, but when it comes to China, well, not so much. We're going to film Mulan in the very place where, as we're filming, we can just gaze out across the valley and see an internment camp. We're crying out loud, but you know, that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, the Disney filmed the Mulan movie in the same area where China is genociding Uyghur Muslims. Now, I don't care what political team you consider yourself on, I don't care what media outlets you follow or whatever. We as a nation used to be against genocide. But the media, they so hate hated the Trump era. They hate the right so much that if it's not promoting their agenda so much, they're not going to be, don't expect them to be journalists when necessary here.
Yeah. And the problem with that is, we will turn a blind eye, and we've seen this from left and right. We will turn a blind eye when there's a promotion of ideas that work for me, that I believe in. It's like, yeah, we got you. But we don't realize that we're cutting off our own legs so that we cannot stand as a nation. Because if the long-standing idea that we seem to have lost is that if any of our rights are trampled on, all of our rights are trampled on. If the media, for example, has gone off the rails for their own need to perpetuate propaganda for one side, the other side, that side should be concerned that that pendulum could swing the other direction. The only way to have a free America is to have a free press. Otherwise, we are in danger.
Right, but we don't really have a free press. We have a free press that, I mean, constitutionally free, so they can say things that you and I would disagree with, and often do, but they're in thrall to the other side. And so right now, the big controversies all throughout the media are the woke culture controversies. Oh, this person didn't do this or did do that. And so journalism ends up being, I guess you kind of say, like designated hitmen to go around dealing with people like this.
With this particular issue with Dr. Fauci, his emails, what do you think is the danger of inaccurate or biased reporting? What are we going to lose as a nation?
Well, I mean, even the left says this, if we can't agree on the basic facts, then you've got a world where, you know, it's like this, and one goes this way, one goes that way. You know, we used to agree at least on the facts 20 years ago. If you saw an article in the Washington Post, you could trust it. Yeah. Now you see an article in the Washington Post, and I immediately assume it's pushing an agenda and not necessarily telling me the news.
Wow. Good point. So when we can't even, what you're saying is that back in the day, we would agree on a news story, on what happened. Now, how we deal with that, how we interpret it, what we're going to do next. Oh, yeah, we would have differing opinions. But because we had that basis in mind and maybe a similar goal of fixing a problem, we can hash it out. Sometimes it wasn't pretty, but we could hash it out. I go back to biblical references, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. You know, you become sharper, you can become better because of that diversity. We not only don't allow that diversity, we can't even agree on the basics of the facts, what this is, what happened, what is day, what is night, what color, what does the color blue look like? We just can't.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it ends up being a very important thing. The left is right now running on this argument that January 6th riot was an insurrection. They've spent my entire adult life complaining about how many guns conservatives have. And then an incident that clearly a riot, but a riot happens, nobody brings guns, and the response is, oh, it's an insurrection. Look, if you're saying that the people who have all these guns didn't use any of them, then you can't be saying it's, you know, it's an insurrection. You just can't. But
you can argue it, but you can't perpetuate it as fact. And that's the difference. There's no problem. I have no problem arguing that or bringing that to the table. This feels like okay. But when we don't, allow for alternate points of view and we perpetuate it as fact, that's dangerous. And secondly, when we don't apply the same logic, the same rules, or the same reporting to some of the violence that took place just months before, then we're not a balanced media anymore, and we're not telling the truth.
Right, because, I mean, let's face it, we had the left, the Black Lives Matter Antifa rallies turned into riots nationwide. Black Lives Matter Antifa people besieged and continued to besiege the Portland courthouse, the federal courthouse. So if you're saying, oh, well, it's because they attacked the federal building, well, then how come not this building that they went for months? That building, you know, that protest slash riot slash attacking police got positive coverage. Remember when they lined up the moms in front of the group? Oh, well, the moms are, they want peace. No, they don't. They're just serving as human shields for the guys who are trying to blind our police officers, physically attack them, and burn down the building that they're in. And so we never got fair coverage for the media about this. Just one more example.
So here we are today looking forward. We have had throughout COVID, we've had the loss of life. We've had the loss of jobs. We've had the loss of many liberties. We've had to face depression and social anxiety as never before. These things are facts, you know, that we can camp on. No politics involved. Those things are true. Now we're being perpetuated it's being perpetuated the idea that vaccines are a must, and if you don't take a vaccine, you're evil. It's like segregation. Even in the state that I live in, Washington, this is for the vaccine. These are for those. Don't drink from the same fountain and get to the back of the bus. Now, what we're not hearing, though, if you're going to make a choice, I've said this with everything from abortion to gun control. If you want to have choice, you have to have all the facts. With the vaccine, we're not hearing about the people who have gotten the vaccine who have contracted COVID, the people who have been hospitalized and then listed as COVID patients, but not attributed to the vaccine. There's a lot of things that we are not hearing. And this comes at a time where we've lived out a whole year of, now we're finding from these emails, being told one thing, something else is happening in the background.
Yeah, you use a word that I just want to really, you know, zoom in on. You just talked about liberties. Every major issue in America now comes down to two words: liberty versus safety. And so, you know, I don't fault the people wanting to get a vaccine. I've got a vaccine. I got it. It worked. My father's older. It allows me to interact with him in a retirement home. I understand why some people wouldn't. If I were younger, maybe I would choose differently. It's up to personal decisions. But that's the liberty argument. Mm-hmm. The left's safety argument is everybody's going to get the vaccine. I won't feel safe until every human on Earth has gotten it. Well, newsflash, every human on Earth's not getting it. And so this, you know, massive push by the media and all that we've got to pay for the vaccines for every part of the world, and we've got to pay for getting them there, and they want to use it to break copyright, you know, the trademark abilities of these major companies. I'm like, okay, well then, if you want to do that, just why not one of these lefty billionaires buy it? Why not? Oh, well, we don't expect that. We expect the government to do it. So we're not allowed to restrict illegal immigrants coming over the border who might have the virus. Not allowed. The left, you can't do that. That's racist. But we then have to help the entire world pay for how it gets the vaccine because, oh, well, then we might get it. Well, of course we might get it because we're letting everybody coming across the border. Won't allow us to restrict the border. So go back to those two words, liberty versus safety. It applies online too. These fact checker idiots who went after everybody for just talking about these issues claim that they have this magical, perfect knowledge, except they don't. They're not always right. And so, okay, well then, why are you fact-checking? Why are you fact-checking my meme that shows something silly? Why are you doing that? Because the goal of these fact-checkers is not to fact-check. The goal is to narrative check. They want to control what you say and how you say it. If they think you're too independent, they shut you down.
This is the stuff that we used to make fun of about life behind the Iron Curtain, how they were told to think such a way, and we would laugh at them and say, that's crazy. Everybody believes that. And here we are with this very same problem. And as you mentioned, liberty and safety, that famous quote by Benjamin Franklin, founding father of the United States, one of the founding fathers, by the way, for those of you who are not taught history in school anymore. He said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserves neither liberty nor safety. And that's coming from the, come on, look at the big picture point of view. We have been indoctrinated, as Dan, you follow, and as we wrap up our time together, as you follow closely the media, the hypocrisy, the lack of accurate reporting, the imbalanced reporting, the lack of, this side and that side to get a full view of what's going on. When we look at that, you see that the media is responsible either by design or because it lines their pockets in creating a fever of fear. We see even through these emails from Fauci that he was kind of part of that. We're going to say this. This is our narrative. This is what we're going to tell people. But this is what's really going on. This is where we're at in America today. And because of that, we're willing to sell away our liberty for not only safety, but false safety, as we're seeing.
Well, I mean, I'll show you how bad it is. There's a Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, who was really about the first doctor to raise the issue of either preventative or early intervention therapy, not just the hospital therapy, but and that's where you get, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectins, and zinc, and all this other stuff. And he called with the Zelenko protocols, how to do this. And Trump referenced him at one point. He was censored on, of all things, Google Docs this past week. Now, for people who don't understand, maybe if you use Microsoft Word, Microsoft Word saves on your computer. Google Docs is shareware, is free, where you can just go online and use it, and then you can share a document with somebody you're friends with or a professional. And he was blocked on six of his own documents. That's very, very scary that they couldn't share them to me. So, going forward, the left and the media want to control what we can say online and off. They want to, you spoke to this organization or that organization. We're not going to allow you. You said the wrong thing on tech media, on Facebook or Twitter. We're going to silence you. That's a lot of control.
Here is what I want to get to. For me, I get down. I want to, on this show, whether you have a faith or not, there's a deeper story, and I call it the God story. If there's a God, what's he doing in all this? And what can we learn? What does he expect of us? And I think the deeper story is the truth sets you free. If you are so busy hiding something that you think is a lie, you might look a little introspectively and see, what are you really afraid of? Because even the Bible, even God himself says, come, let us reason together. Come on, God says, bring it. Challenge me, test me, try me, prove me. If God isn't afraid of being challenged, then why are you? Why am I? That's the deeper story, Dan. I want to thank you so much for coming on. And you kind of did this last minute. I cannot tell you how much it means to me that y'all are always there for me, that we can get this out and get people thinking about that deeper story, about setting ourselves free and maybe a little hope for the nation. Keep doing what you guys are doing at the Media Research Center. You guys rock there. It has been such a pleasure, Dan. Again, Dan Gaynor, Vice President there, MRC. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. It's great to see you in the IRL world.
There you go. Bye-bye now. Thanks for being part of My Michelle Live. MyMichelleLive.com is where you can go. You can support us. You can share us with your friends everywhere you listen. Like, and even if you just send a smiley face or just say hi every time you comment, it helps us to grow. So help us grow what we're doing here. Help us to get the God story out. Help us to share a deeper story that transcends politics, transcends division, and brings a little bit of truth. You can also find some great products at MyMichelleLive.com. Just a few, just our favorite ones, and they are affiliates. We'll help keep this show going. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next time.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.